Let's turn in our Bibles, please, to the Gospel of St. Mark. And we're going to read a couple of the resurrection narratives this morning. And we're going to go, first of all, to the Gospel of St. Mark. We're going to the 16th chapter. And we're going to be reading verse 1. Now, when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices that they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. And they said among themselves, "Who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe, sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See, this place where they laid him is empty. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you in Galilee. There you will see him as he has said to you." So they went up quickly and fled from the tomb, for they trembled and were amazed. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Passage of Scripture is in Mark's narrative of the resurrection of the Lord. And I want you to pay attention with me, please, where it says the angel of the Lord says to them, "Go and tell the disciples." Makes sense, because the disciples were cowering in an upper room. They knew that Jesus said, "If you destroy this temple, I will what? Rebuild it." In how many days? He said to them, "The Son of God must be crucified and will be resurrected." He told them that. He told them about all of the things that has to happen. He showed them many miraculous signs, but yet they were afraid. And you know why they were afraid? Because they thought Jesus was what? Dead. Incredible. They walked with him. They talked with him. They slept next to him. They ate with him. They helped him in the miracles of feeding the thousands of people. But yet, they were cowering in a room and they were afraid because they thought he had died. Any wonder then why so many people today who have not walked with him, talked with him, slept beside him, ate with him, or helped him in miracles, is there any wonder why they don't believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead? Because even the disciples had a hard time understanding that, didn't they? Go and tell the disciples and Peter. Isn't that something? I thought Peter was a disciple. Is Peter a disciple? Yes. Yeah. And the angel of the Lord says to them, "Go and tell the disciples." Look at your scripture. Gospel of St. Mark, 16th chapter. Look down at where it says, "Go and tell the disciples." And then he says, "And who?" Peter. Well, why is not Peter included in the group? He was included all the other times, wasn't he? He denied him. Well, Peter did deny him, but didn't Peter also walk on water? How many remember Peter? He's the water-walking disciple, right? What's the secret to walking on water? No, you got to get out of the boat. See, you can't walk on water when you're in the boat. The secret to walking on water is to what? Get out of the boat, right? Get out of the boat. You got to get out of the boat, brothers and sisters. And Peter took that step out of the boat, right? But everybody remembers he took his eye off the Lord. And what happened? See, we all know that. He's also the water walker. He also took his sword. And what did he do with it? Cut off one of the guard's ears, right? But I want you to remember the story. Jesus at the Last Supper, eating, breaking bread. He says, "Surely I tell you, one of you seated here beside me will deny me. One of you will betray me." "Who is it, Lord? Who is it?" "Go and do what you need to do, Judas." So Judas leaves. "One of you will deny me." And Peter says, "Not me. I will never deny you. Not me." How many are bold in your faith? Only one person's bold? How many are bold in their faith? We would never deny him. Never. Never. Peter's basically saying unto the Lord, I would die before I would deny you, Lord. I'm Peter the Rock. I'm the one that when you ask, who do people say that I am? I'm the one that said you are the Messiah. Remember, Lord, when you said that you are Petros the Rock, and on that rock I will build my church. I'm Peter. And Jesus said to Peter, surely I tell you, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Imagine what Peter's thinking. He's supposed to know all things. Really? Does he know me? Does he know me? Guess what? He does know him. And guess what else? He knows you too. You know when you raised your hand and you said that you were bold for him? How many said you were bold for him? How many said you never deny him? If Jesus was here right now, Jesus would say, oh, but you would. And not only would you, but you did. How many have not done a real good job in testifying for the Lord? How many sometimes have fallen short? How many wish you had a chance to do it all over again? Don't you? It's an amazing thing about Peter. There were two beloved disciples with Jesus. Who were they? John, the one he loved, and who? Peter. Right beside him. The supper was over and Judas left. Peter's right by him. I'm sure Peter of all right now, he's not going to take this land down. This is Peter. Oh, yeah? No, I'm really sticking by your side now, Lord. Where you go, I'm going. No, I'm like your shadow. Where you go, I go. Because you're not going to get over on me. No, no. I will not betray you. There's Jesus. There's Peter. We know that. Why? Because when they came to betray him and one of the guards put his hands on the Lord, where is Peter? Right there. How do we know that? Because the sword ain't 100 feet long. How long's a sword, do you think, Pastor Ed? 2.5, 3 feet? So where was Peter when they put hands on the Lord? Right there. Close enough to do what? Whoa! That's how close he was. Knocked his ear off. So it couldn't be very far away, could he, Pastor Ed? Right there. Interesting thing about Peter. It says, as they led Christ away, and all of the turmoil is going on. You know what Scripture says? And Peter followed from afar. Ain't that something? Ain't that something? Peter, close enough to what? Whack off an ear. Now, the heat gets turned up. Jesus is being led away to be crucified. And where's Peter? Following where? From afar. Oh, I will never deny you, Lord. Never. You know, the first stage of denial was following Jesus from where? From afar. You no longer have the close relationship. We learned that when we went away, sister, you and I, right? You got to have what with the Lord? Fellowship. You know what? It's hard to have fellowship from afar. Oh, we might be able to Skype them, maybe. You know, www Skype. Hey, Jesus, nice to see you. I'll see you Christmas Eve. I didn't do that. No. I don't believe I did that. Sorry, Lori. But your mom's not here. Skype. How many of you Skype? You can Skype Jesus, right? Hi, Jesus. But where is the Lord? He's up there. He's being led away. Where's Peter? From afar. And then he gets a little chill. And so he starts to warm his hands over the fire. Guess what? They ain't singing Kumbaya. And they ain't making s'mores either. He's sitting around the fire. And guess where the fire is located? Right in the palace courtyard. Of guess who? The high priest. Ain't that something? He's now warming his hands in the fire in the courtyard of the ones who just got Christ. We would never mingle with the enemy, would we? never would I mingle with the enemy. Unless they had steel, it'll take us on the 50-yard line. But besides that, I wouldn't do it. Let's say a ticket center ice at the hockey game. Other than those two things, I wouldn't do it. Unless they invited me to dinner at the Olive Garden. Okay, other than three things, I definitely wouldn't do it. Would any of you mingle with the enemy? Nah. One with his hands by the fire. And one of the men gathered there says, hey, yeah, I'm talking to you. I'm making that up, but it's kind of like in there. Hey, you, I'm talking to you. Weren't you with him? Nope. I don't even know what you're talking about. And a young girl seated there says, wait a second. I saw you with him. You were with that Jesus. You were with him. I saw you. I wasn't there. You're a Nazarene. You were with him. You're a Nazarene. You're one of them. And Peter said, I don't know him. You know the interesting thing about that passage of scripture? Just when he was saying, I don't know Jesus, came walking by. And just as he said him, Peter turned and there was Christ looking at him. Eye to eye. Face to face. I don't know. Cock-a-doodle-doo. Imagine when you deny the Lord. Guess what? He's not just looking at you. He's in you. Let me run that by you again. You see, when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, guess what? In he came. And so when you deny him before others, guess what? He not only heard it, he felt it. And Jesus said, if you deny me before man, I will deny you before my Father. Imagine Peter's heart. Imagine Peter's heart. Peter, we're talking here about Peter, water walking, sword yielding. You're the Messiah, Peter, who just denied the Christ and Jesus heard him say it. Imagine you thought, I might as well just quit and go fishing. Might as well just go fishing. Because this is over. How many of you messed up in your life sometimes? Now, how many of you have messed up and you said to yourself, I will never, ever do that again. And before you got it out of your mouth, you did it again. And how many of you said, no, this time, I really mean it this time. And you enter into an accountability with somebody and say, if I ever do this again, hold me accountable. And you say, I'll never, ever, ever going to do this again. How many did it again? How many did things like maybe even three times? Oh, three times. Three times. Hey, that's something. Interesting thing about Peter. Because when Jesus said to Peter, you are the rock. And on this rock, I'll build my church. Now, Peter had denied him. That brings us to our current scripture passage. Go and tell the disciples, oh, make sure, especially make sure, you tell who? Peter. I'm coming to see him. Oh, tell the disciples, oh, and especially tell Peter, I'm coming. Imagine the people in your life that you have denied or you have done things about. And imagine if they called you on the phone and said, hey, I'm coming by your house. I'm coming by your house. Mary said, I'm leaving. How many of you have ever said this? Told you so. Who's ever said that one time? Told you so. I knew you was going to do it. Told you so. Go and tell the disciples. Oh, especially tell Peter. Jesus Christ resurrects from the dead. Guess what? It ain't over. It wasn't over for Peter. No, it wasn't over. It's not over for you either. And Jesus appears to the disciples, and there's Peter. There's Peter. Imagine what he's thinking. Brothers and sisters, imagine what he's thinking. There is Jesus who I denied, and he heard me, and here he is. What am I going to say now? I didn't do it. That's not going to cut it. They made me do it. Not going to cut it. How about I can get away with, I didn't understand the question. I didn't hear it properly. Oh no. He heard it. Oh yeah. And he meant it. Jesus goes to Peter. Peter. Not I told you so. Peter. Not why did you do it? Peter. Do you love me? Not I told you so. Not why'd you do it? Do you love me, Peter? Yes, Lord. You know I love you. And feed my sheep. Do you love me, Peter? Lord, you know all things. You know I love you. Feed my sheep, Peter. Do you love me, Peter? Do you love me? And scripture says he was getting annoyed at the third time he was asked. Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Then go and feed my sheep. Three denials, three affirmations. Gone. Restored. Peter became one of the most strong, bold disciples. Peter. Why am I saying that on Sunday morning, Easter Resurrection Day? Because it is not over yet for you either. Because when he came out of the tomb, he said to you, I know you messed up. Remember Peter? I know that your faith was waning at times. Remember Peter? I know that you haven't been as bold as you should be all the time. Remember Peter? And I can still use you. And he says to you today in April 2012, but do you love me, church? But do you love me? And you have to answer. Yes, Lord. I love you. And Jesus then says what? Then feed my sheep. That's why it is so important about a resurrection day. That's why when they have seminars, now listen to me, church, they have seminars, and I told you this. I get invited to these bizarre seminars about whether or not Jesus Christ really resurrected from the dead. I get these invitations. I rip them up as fast as I get them. I don't want to go. And the truth of the matter is, and I'm going to be bold because this is the way that I am. Those invitations come from the World Council of Churches. The World Council of Churches. And I want to let you know, just because the kind of guy I am, who is in the World Council of Churches. Who's ever heard of World Council of Churches before? They give seminars about whether or not Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And who's in the World Council of Churches? Are you ready? Take a note. Presbyterian, Methodist, Baptist, Catholic, Lutheran, they're all in there. All of them are in there. How many are surprised by that? Keep your checks right now to the World Council of Churches. That's what you're doing. Look it up. You can Google anything you want in this world, right? You can check me out and look it up. World Council of Churches. Whether or not Jesus Christ is really the Son of God. If he's not, it says in Scripture, guess what? We above all people are to be what? Pitied. Pitied. Jesus Christ has rose from the dead, and we get a divine do-over. Who's glad about that? Let's turn one more passage of Scripture, brothers and sisters. And I will have you turn to the Gospel of St. John. And we're going to go to the 20th chapter. And I'm going to be reading in verse 1. And this is John's account of the resurrection of the Lord. John chapter 20, starting in verse 1. Now the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. And then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Peter therefore went out and the other disciple and were going to the tomb. So they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And he, by the way, who was that other disciple? John. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloth lying there, yet he did not go in. Simon Peter came, followed him, and what did he do? See, that's Peter, right? What's John doing? Peeking in. Most of us would probably peek in too. What did Peter do? Get out of the way, John. And bust right in, right? Peter, that's Peter. That's Peter, bold Peter, right? Peter. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloth lying there, and yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen cloth lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen cloth, but folded together in a place by itself. Y'all see that, right? It says that the shroud, the cloth that buried Jesus, was probably rolled up and set aside. But the handkerchief that was wrapped around the Lord's face was what? Folded up and placed on the tomb. Now, I'll let you know something about me. If I was declared dead and I woke up 3 days later, I want to let you know right now, I would not be hanging around folding anything. I won't. I would not be doing it. If I was dead and woke up, I would say, "Feet, don't feel me now." How many be saying the same thing? How many's hanging around folding stuff? How many go, "Oh my gosh, boom, I'm out of here," right? But it says in Scripture, it says that the cloth that wrapped the Christ was rolled to the side and the face covering was neatly what? Folded, placed by its self. Interesting theory about that. Some people agree, some people don't agree, but I like it. Want to hear it? I can make come back next week. Who wants to hear? Want anybody to hear it now today?
Come on, give it to
okay.
Me.
She's so persistent. The custom of the time back then, at least what's at least been reported, I hadn't lived that long, so what's been said, that when the master of the house was being waited upon by the servants, the servant would be kind of standing over here by himself, and he'd be watching the master as the master eats. And it was his job to make sure that the master got the food that he wanted in the plates and things like that, and he was standing to watch. When the master got up from the table and walked away, the servant could not go and clean the plates because the master might come back in 1 second. But follow that? But he was always supposed to clean the plates if the master was done. Everybody got that? So the servant would stand off to the side and he'd watch the master eating his dinner. If the master got up, he had two choices. Clear the table or what? Wait. Because the master wasn't done eating. Suppose the master had to go to the restroom or something. He wasn't done eating. So he watched. But how would the servant know that the master wasn't coming back? Ooh, it's going to get good. Hang on, it's worth the trip. If the master was done eating, he takes the handkerchief or the napkin and just throws it down on his plate. And then he goes. And the servant looks at it and says, "The master is what? Done." And so he comes over there and he takes the plates and stuff and cleans the table. But If a servant's looking at it, and the master gets up from the table, takes his handkerchief, his napkin, and he folds it and puts it on his plate, the servant does not clear the dinner place because why? He is coming back. Now, ain't that something? Now, let me run that by you again. The shroud that Jesus had on him was what? Laying off to the side. But the handkerchief that was around his face was neatly folded and placed by itself. Now, if that's not significant, why is it mentioned? Why? Just because. Why? It's in there. How many read that? It's in there. Whoever was in the tomb, Jesus, took the time to what? And you want to know why? Because he's saying, it ain't over yet. I'm coming back. Don't clear anything away. I'll be back. That brings me to the ending of the Easter message for you this morning. Oh, all of us love Christmas Eve, don't we? Away in a manger, no crib for a bed. The little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. How many love those songs? Don't we love those songs? A lot of people love those songs because they come eat Christmas Eve to hear them songs. Oh, little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Oh, I love that. Isn't that great? And Easter Sunday morning, don't we love songs like Christ the Lord is risen today? I love those songs. It's great. We get to go have our Easter egg hunts. See, that's chapter 1 and 2. Guess what? There's another chapter. Oh, but there's another chapter. Yes. You see, Jesus came incarnate as a man, flesh and blood. He came. He was killed. He was buried. And he resurrected. Ooh, chapter 1, he came. Chapter 2, he went away. And there's a third chapter. Who said that? What's he doing, letter? He's coming back. And when he comes the next time, just to make sure everybody in the church knows it, he's not going to be laid in a manger. He won't fit. Mm-mm. He's not coming as a little baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. Oh, no. And people won't say, oh, Coochie, look how cute. Oh, no. There'll be people going, oh, no. Oh, no. That's what they'll be doing when he comes the next time. Oh, they won't be gathering, bringing presents. They'll be cowering in fear. Because on his leg is going to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that's what it's going to say. And he's coming with all his glory. And guess who's coming with them? My boy. How many got some people coming with him when he comes? The armies are coming. And guess what? And guess what? If we die before he comes, how many of you's coming with him too? Oh, I'm coming. Yeah. Well, here's the deal. Because I'm kind of bold. Because you haven't figured that out yet. It's just the way I am. It's the way I'm wired. Christmas Eve. Everybody loves to come to church. Praise the Lord. Easter Sunday, people come, praise the Lord. But what about chapter 3? You know where I want to be when he comes? Sitting in the black hard chair. Come on, Lord, come on, let's go. I want to be doing something, praying something, preaching something, singing something for the Lord when he comes the next time. Who want to do that too? I want to be busy doing the work of the Lord when he comes. And he's coming. How many know he's coming? And I want to be busy doing something. People said to me, Pastor Tom, you know, you need to take some time off. You don't want me to do that. Because if I was rested up, you should hear me then. It's true. Last year at this time, I'm closing my message to you this morning before we have our supper together. Last year at this time, I don't know if any of you remember or not, I was deeply depressed. In fact, I didn't even want to come. Pastor Ed brought a message for me. Deeply in the tomb in depression. Guess what? I'm not in that tomb anymore. And you don't have to be either. Nobody in this room has got to stay in the tomb. And when the stone rolls away, you got two options. Stay in or what? Come out. How many's coming out? And you know, we all got tombs. Jesus was in a borrowed tomb. We're in borrowed tombs too. Some are called depression, anxiety, stress, financial concerns, ill health, bad disabilities. How many's got a tomb too? Don't we all got tombs? We're all in a tomb. And the world's put a big old stone and said, stay put, don't come out. And some of us love to stay in that tomb. But when Jesus Christ resurrected from the dead, guess what happens to that stone you're in too? It gets rolled away. And you have a choice. Come out into the light of day or stay in there until somebody rolls a stone in front again. How many's coming out of that stone that you're rolling in front of you, right? Okay, if you're in a tomb right now and you want to come out into the light of day, I need you to stand up. Be bold. If you're in a tomb and you want to be coming out into the light of day, you stand up. Don't worry about whether anybody else standing up. If you're in some kind of tomb today, whether it's anxiety, stress, depression, whatever, financial concerns, ill health, whatever, if you're in a tomb today and you want to come out into the light of day, we're going to pray us out. Okay, everybody here who's standing, everybody who's not standing, put their hands on somebody who is standing. Father God, every single one of us in this room, those who professed it now and those who do not want to profess it, we are in tombs. We are in tombs of stress, anxiety, depression, relationship issues, bad health, unforgiveness, past grudges, past sin. We're in them, Lord. We're in them. And we want to come out into the light of day. Father God, we ask and we beseech you, Lord, when Jesus Christ came out and conquered sin and death, we will conquer it too, because he who lives in us is greater than the one who is in the world. So, Father God, whatever our issues are, Lord, remove the stone that has entombed us, and we are going to walk out into the bright, sunshiny day. Lord, I ask you to bless my brothers and my sisters right now, Lord. Give them the powerful gift of the Holy Spirit. Touch them in a powerful way that they can come out into the light of day. Not for their glory, not for the church's glory, but for your glory. And all of God's people said, amen.